and welcome to H-Town Rewind. This is Josh.
And this is Dave.
We are history teachers in the greater Houston area.
And we're human.
And David, we are human. This is not AI generated at all.
We need to start specifying that none of this is altered or synthetic content. These are all actual humans making very human mistakes when we talk out loud.
And there will be many mistakes. And you're welcome.
Yep. You're welcome, America. Let's get in. Dave and Josh, getting history sometimes right.
And how do we find Houston, David?
How do we define Houston?
I have my definition that we talked off mic about.
I thought it was awesome.
Houston? Like
Houston equals awesome.
Like, what areas do we include when we talk about Houston?
Well, Josh, can we do a little experiment?
I'm
teaching math again this year.
Yeah.
All right, so greater than, less than, equal to. Houston, greater than, less than, equal to Beaumont.
Beaumont's a little too far.
Okay. Port Arthur.
I'm never going to Port Arthur again.
Again, story for another time.
Folks. Yes.
Story for another time.
For the Patreon, whenever we make that.
What about Montgomery?
Maybe.
Sorry, flies from Montgomery. From Montgomery, it's the Bonnie Raitt song.
We were just doing a Bonnie Raitt thing. But what we don't count is Dallas.
Why would we? Why would anyone count Dallas?
Although I did have a good time in Fort Worth.
Which is not Dallas.
No.
For those at home.
But it also isn't Houston either.
No.
But yeah, we apologize for the long break.
Yeah.
We've been life adminning.
I was on a speaking tour of cryptocurrency and the emerging. I'm making all that up. I wasn't doing anything.
It's the holidays. We've been busy, okay?
It's the holidays. We've been busy. We went to Renfest. Come on.
We went to the Renfest again, as we said we would. I went to Fort Worth, which I actually had a better time than I thought I would.
Yeah.
But this episode's been percolating for a minute. And David, what are we talking about today?
All right. We're going to talk about a well-known pathway road in the Houston area. Well, in Houston, in the loop. Old Spanish Trail.
Yeah, so I used to live off Old Spanish Trail.
And OST.
When I first moved to town, and we're going to say OST most of the time.
Yeah, moving forward, when we say OST, we're referring to Old Spanish Trail.
Yes. It runs basically from northeast to southwest. It starts near Martin Luther King Street, goes through the medical district.
Drive. Yep.
Pardon. Goes through the medical district and meets up with Main Street, Highway Alternate 90, right around NRG Stadium.
All
right. And I always had this fascination with the name. Like, what a cool name. Old Spanish Trail.
Seriously. Yo también.
Yeah. So I'm like...
Which is me too in Spanish. Sorry.
So I went down this rabbit hole learning about this, and we got very excited very early.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a... There's an expression I'm thinking of right now that I'm not going to use because this is a family-friendly, human-based podcast. Old Spanish Trail. Like, just look at the name. It sounds old... In Spanish.
And there's a trail.
And a trail somewhere.
Yeah. So I just assumed, my mind always wandered, like, what's the history behind the street?
The mind wanders.
And let's talk about the history behind the street. Can I start at the beginning?
Well, before we go to the beginning.
All right.
Why don't you take us to the beginning?
All right, to the beginning. So when we talk about Old Spanish Trail, let's talk about what they call the Camino Real.
El Camino Real?
El Camino Real. Let's just say the King's Highway.
Dame un segundo, pero El Camino Real?
So we're going to say King's Highway because my Spanish is not great.
Oh, it's so fun to say. Okay.
And we Highway. So we're talking about Spanish America, right?
So King's Highway, I start thinking like King of England.
Fair enough.
What king would this be?
Carlos.
Of?
Spain. España.
España.
Mm-hmm. So there are several King's Highways in Spanish North America.
You don't say.
Yes.
Wait, are we talking about more than one OST?
I'll get there.
Uh-huh.
It's not even called that yet. Because it's not old. It's the new Spanish Trail in the 1500s and 1600s, David.
Okay.
And there's more than one.
Jacques.
See. So, the initial search, the first time you hear the word Old Spanish Trails, we're talking about John C. Fremont. The great explorer.
Well, let's talk about John C. Fremont for the next hour.
We could do that.
I love John C. Fremont.
But he's only going to be involved in this story for about 20 more seconds.
Oh, okay.
Him and Kit Carson, these great adventurers.
Let's talk about Kit Carson. Let's talk about nothing but Kit Carson and John C. Fremont.
Do you want to explain what's so interesting about those guys real quick before I move on?
They're absolutely awesome. They are what's called filibusters. I use filibuster historically, meaning I'm not going to talk in the Senate forever. I'm going to go adventure and sometimes topple governments. But yeah, these guys were the real deal. They could pretty much do anything anywhere. And very impressive that we came across Fremont's name.
And very important, the Mexican-American War.
Important. And California. Should be a whole other episode.
So in 1844, they survey what they call the Old Spanish Trail. And this Old Spanish Trail, there's going to be three of them.
Wait, which is the oldest?
I don't know.
Great question.
This one might be the oldest, because Santa Fe is one of the older Spanish towns.
Santa Fe is the St. Augustine of the Southwest. I mean, yeah, it's ancient.
It is.
For Americans.
So this Old Spanish Trail goes from modern-day Santa Fe, New Mexico, to Los Angeles, California. And it connects all the Spanish missions and presidios in between.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Old Spanish Trail. Now I'm thinking Spanish missions and forts and connectivity.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry.
And it's a very evocative name, even in 1844.
When it was the New Spanish Trail.
Right.
Right.
So we're talking about paths. Let's be honest. These are paths.
Pathways, yeah.
Probably based on old Native American trails that the Spanish would use to connect their incredible empire. So that one, the one Old Spanish Trail in New Mexico / Los Angeles, is one, Camino Real.
El Camino Real.
There's a third one that I learned about growing up in Florida.
Wait, how did Florida manage? I'm so sorry, Josh. How did Florida finagle its way into this conversation again?
Because this is all going to be on Interstate 10, man.
All on Interstate 10.
It all comes back to Interstate 10.
If you're not familiar, Interstate 10, part of the U.S. Highway system, east to west.
Jacksonville to L.A.
Jacksonville to L.A., but we have Interstate 5. If it ends in a 5, it's north and south. If it ends in a 0, it's east and west.
Yep. Except when they break that rule, which that's a whole other thing.
You mean like I-69?
Man, okay. We're going to get, actually, that's going to come up in the story in a minute.
Guys, when we deep dive into transportation research,
So the road in Florida basically goes from St. Augustine on the east coast of Florida to roughly Pensacola, which is the western part of the panhandle of Florida. And it's just there to connect the Spanish missions in Florida. It's also called the Camino Real.
El Camino Real.
There is a third Camino Real that runs through Texas.
¿Dónde?
It does not run off of I-10.
Okay.
It runs off of Highway 59.
You mean the I-69 corridor?
Now it's called the I-69 corridor.
People that are listening to this, not from the area, are going to be like, they're just throwing numbers. They're just saying numbers now.
So we're not going east to west. We're going northeast to southwest. And the one in Texas goes from roughly Nacogdoches all the way down, basically follows Highway 59 through Goliad, remember?
I love Goliad.
Remember Goliad?
Yeah, I remember Goliad.
It takes you down to Mexico City, basically.
Yeah. So that is the current day I-69 corridor. You're going to run into this concept often in history. Like, what was good for another culture, another civilization before you? If it worked, then why fix it? It's not broke. So there is a lot of, I don't know, I don't want to say like transportation appropriation, but it's kind of transportation appropriation. Why do we think Roman roads are still in existence? Because they served a great purpose. And these trailways, these pathways also served a great purpose. At the area that we're talking about, they connected the Spanish colonials. Like they connected the forts and the missions.
In the 15s and more 1600s. I have an article pulled up from Texas Almanac that kind of breaks down the one in Texas. If I may read, sir.
Please.
And I quote from Al McGraw. The old Spanish road called the Camino Real has had many names since it first entered Texas in the late 17th century, 1600s. But whatever it's called, Camino Real de los Tejas, Camino Pita, Camino Arbia, Camino de la Medio,
ay, ay, ay.
King, I'm already offending the Spanish listeners with my bad pronunciation. King's Highway, Old San Antonio Road, it was not an ordinary Camino or road. Though often little more than a mule track, it was a Camino Real. A royal road with special status. But let's break, end quote. These are little paths.
Yeah.
The Spanish North American part of the empire is barely occupied by the Spanish, right? Uh-huh. That's why they bring in the impresarios to begin with.
Yeah. And to make money.
Always make money.
Yeah.
So, the road we call Old Spanish Trail in South Houston. And we are looking at the map right now. It is a more interconnected roadway than you might think. Some of it runs off of modern I-10. A lot of it does not. So let's talk about our old Spanish trail, David. And I'm going to hand this off to you in a second. Spoiler alert, the road we call Old Spanish Trail has nothing to do with Old Spanish Trails.
Or Spanish or trails. Is it the... Do I talk about the thing now?
Let's talk about the highway system from the 1920s, David. We talked about this off mic.
You to tell me. Now is the time we get to talk about the highway system in the 1920s. All right, really wasn't the highway system. The highway system that we understand today came about after Eisenhower came back from Germany and saw the, not Oberholzer.
Autobahn.
Autobahn, thank you. And, like, there had been highways before. Like, there was a Lincoln Highway going from New York all the way west. So the concept of highways has been around for a while, but the interstate, that's when things get kicked up a notch.
But we're talking before that. We're talking 1920s. Actually, it starts in 1915.
Yeah, let's go with 1915. So, I don't know how quite to present this.
Let me get you started. According to Texas Highways, in 1915, delegates from Texas, Alabama, Arizona, New Mexico, and Arizona convened in Mobile, Alabama to launch the Old Spanish Trail Project.
Or Proyecto de Old Spanish Trail.
They formed the Old Spanish Trail Association, and after conventions in Houston and San Antonio in 1919, the heavy lifting of developing the idea into a national highway shifted to San Antonio.
Also known as Alamo City.
As they say in the article.
Okay, now let's go back in time and let's look at the lay of the land, 1915 to, I don't know, 1929. This is the Golden Age. This is the 1920s. This is post-Gilded Age, but a whole lot of money. A whole lot of money that's going to even get more pronounced after World War One ends. But this is infrastructure expansion. I'm looking at a plaque right now on the Texas Highways website. Dedicated in 1924, the Old Spanish Trail Mile Zero marker still stands in San Antonio's Military Plaza. Photo courtesy OST 100, which is the 100-year anniversary of the Old Spanish Trail.
Which we are celebrating. But we're talking about the highway system, not the actual Old Spanish Trail.
Okay, the 1929 highway system, or what you're looking at right now?
It starts in the 19-teens.
Okay.
It takes a minute to get going.
Well, how do you organize all this? And how do you organize this all within your own state, but then you also have to organize construction within other states, and then you have to rely on other states' funding? And guys, spoiler alert, this is 1915 to 1925. The era of government doesn't exist that we understand now. This is before the era that Roosevelt, that FDR brought in, where there isn't government spending on infrastructure for individual states. Individual states were pretty much on their own. So you can have a highway. How is that going to work with other states at the time?
And this is mostly a private endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how government ran then. That was a statement of government. Everything is privately ran. The thinking being, and Carnegie said this, that if you have the means to support those that don't, then you have to. This isn't going to be government. This is going to be privately financed, which again, how is this going to happen from all the way in Florida to all the way in California and all the states in between? So the testament is, and I guess the so what is, that this thing actually did come together in 1929. Unfortunately, it was neither old nor Spanish nor trail.
But it becomes historical in its own right, which is funny to me.
All right.
So just to back up, when they're coming up with this idea, and I quote from Texas Highways again, the association established a headquarters office in the famed Gunter Hotel, and financier Errol Ayers, who had come to Texas from the Northeast for his health in 1917, was hired as managing director. Ayers nurtured a romantic narrative about the trail falling in the footsteps of the Padres and Conquistadors. When the road was finally completed in 1929, King Alfonso XIII of Spain sent a representative to dedicate the OST.
Of course. It's Spanish.
Of course.
According to everything I read, about a third of the trail was Texas.
Yeah, a third of the trail was Texas. The OST in Texas follows US 90, an alternate US 90 through Beaumont, which East Texas, through Houston, and Eagle Lake, which I have a joke about them in a minute.
Wait, Eagle Pass or Eagle Lake?
Eagle Lake.
All right.
Which is a donut-based economy. They have more donut shops than people. We only go through there when there's a wreck on I-10.
The It's a donut-based economy.
Fattest cop I ever saw in my life was in Eagle Lake. He was on a motorcycle.
All respect to law enforcement, but that's just perfect irony. That's perfect.
You don't put a 400-pound man on a motorcycle and have him enforce the law.
No one's going to take that seriously. I would keep driving just to see if he could maintain... You know what? I don't like where this is going.
It does take you to Gonzales.
Everything should... Every road in Texas should run through Gonzales.
And it goes west through San Antonio, where in 1924, Governor Neff dedicated a Mile Zero marker at City Hall and Military Plaza.
I'm going to quote real quick, because this is all taking me to a certain spot in my thinking. Original OSTA, this is a quote. Original OSTA published annual travel logs with the exact distance from city center to city center, explained Charlotte Call, director of the OST 100 project. If cities had not added their zero-mile markers, the travel log encouraged travelers to reset their odometers at zero at the depot, courthouse, or any other site.
And David, if I just may, this keeps reminding me of something.
Yep.
If you ever want to motor west, what highway you take? What's the best?
Route 66, it's the best!
Do you get your kicks on Route 66?
I have been known to get my kicks on Route 66. Story for another time.
So, folks, if you love Americana, as we do, Route 66 is iconic. It goes from Chicago to San Diego or L.A.?
L.A.
L.A.
The Santa Monica Pier.
Okay. So, basically, the Old Spanish Trail is trying to be, like, the southern version of that.
Yeah. That's it's a southern version of Route 66, but this time it covered everything all the way from San Augustine through Santa Fe.
At this point, Jacksonville, let's be fair. Go a little north.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where Jacksonville is.
It's a little north of San Augustine.
I don't know where San Augustine is.
It's a little south of Jacksonville.
Okay. Gotcha.
All right.
On board. We're all on board now.
Yeah. Pull up a map, people.
Read a book.
This is an audio only podcast. What do you want from us?
Stop listening to us. Wait, no, keep listening to us.
But no, so in the 1920s on, this develops this very interesting car culture along the Old Spanish Trail.
OST, baby.
OST. But the party's not going to last forever.
Oh?
In the 1950s, what happens? What's the plan?
Oh, sorry.
I was trying to build you up a little more for that.
Okay.
And then what happens, David?
Let's do that again. All right, now I'm ready.
No, I'm not cutting this.
No, we're not cutting this.
All right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And then what happens, David?
Well, the Nazis lost and we took their highway system.
All right. AKA the Internet Highway System of the United States.
Interstate. The interstate highway, the interstate system that we have in the United
States. What did I say?
I don't know. When listening.
Interstate?
I got to hate on the Nazis for a second, so I was going there.
All right. So Eisenhower in the 50s, he's president. Let's take one step back.
Okay.
We got to take one step back.
Okay.
Let's talk about interstate travel in the United States before the interstate system.
Oh, it was a system of highways that were loosely connected that were actually previously either trade routes or cattle drives in Texas. You went to Fort Worth, yeah?
Yeah.
How do you think Fort Worth it even exists?
Because the trail went along parallel with the railroad tracks.
Yeah. So the cattle drive is going to go through that area, and then whenever we start getting railroads, we're going to put the cattle on the railroads. It's going to go through Fort Worth, and like these are the interconnected pathways of history that get together and form what we call a highway. But the interstate is something totally different. It is soulless.
The actual experience of driving on a road from like the East Coast to West Coast, Eisenhower, when he was a young man, him and his wife, I think it was their honeymoon, did this. And it took them like a month to get from like the Midwest to California.
Why do people have so much time for honeymoons in the past?
It's a different time.
Okay, I guess.
I mean, the enlisted men didn't have that. But no, he realized this is not working. This is not efficient. We're clearly becoming a car culture. We already are in the 50s. Let's be honest. Let's just make this better.
Yeah.
And also, we need a way to get our military around in case there's an invasion from the Soviets.
Well said, sir.
Thank you.
Because there always is. Any time in the Cold War, the thinking is Cold War thinking. Interstate 10 between Beaumont, between Beaumont and Winnie, it's an airstrip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's forward thinking.
The OST gets supplanted, and part of it is incorporated into I-10, Interstate 10.
Yeah.
But there are still little pockets throughout the old route where there are streets throughout the United States named Old Spanish Trail. Houston just has the one I'm aware of.
That's because we live in Houston.
And we focus our lives on what we see every day.
I wouldn't know the OST from John Fremont in 1844, but but I know the OST in Houston, 1929.
Yeah, and it takes you through Southside.
It does. And that's a cultural impact on its own, because I cannot imagine that there is as much flavor now as there was in 1929 in this area when they were building Old Spanish Trail.
So this is the South Side. It's just south of downtown. It's very affluent at this point because of the new roads. When they get supplanted by Interstate 10, what happens? I'll tell you what happens.
Thank you, Josh. Tell us what happens.
White flight.
Okay, literally, Josh just rolled his eyes because he gave me a cue to talk and I didn't. I passed it back to him and he rolled his eyes. The magic is real, guys. White flight. Yeah, okay, let's talk about white flight. If you're not familiar, if an area that white people lived in for however long they lived in that area, if they started losing, I'm going to say demographic strength, they would move. If crime increases, people move. If infrastructure is not there, people will move. But it's white flight's kind of a pushback from the Great Migrations, the first one after the Civil War and the second one after the First World War. African Americans become enfranchised for the first time, and they want the same rights and same privileges that every other American gets to enjoy. That comes with owning property. But understand, there are not a lot of forward thinkers out there, and some people had a problem with African Americans in their community, so they would move out in droves. This has several effects in that, well, property taxes for one, but let's not get into that conversation.
And the funny thing is, the route of white flight they follow in the 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah?
Is Highway Alternate 90.
Also known as?
To Sugar Land.
To Sugar Land.
And to Eagle Lake if you are basic.
And want donuts.
And want donuts. Only donuts.
And you're law enforcement with diabetes.
And we can talk about Black Flight on another episode.
Black Flight.
Oh, my, yes. The 70s is Black Flight.
Oh, let's save that one for another one.
Yeah, Missouri City. But no, so the highway.
Pearland.
It's just like Psycho. Bates Motel.
What happens? It's just like Psycho.
It's just like Psycho. The Bates Motel is on the old highway. The interstate changes the route. Now the Bates Motel is where you get killed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fact.
So the Old Spanish Trail is no longer the route. I-10's the route. Everyone that had built their, who threw all in.
Economic investiture into that area.
And now it's like, we're out of here.
Because, guys, it was the Route 66 of the South. I mean, and more, much, much more, because Route 66 is lazy.
And you can still see fingerprints of these quirky little hotels on the side of the road.
Can you?
Quirky little restaurants, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
But they're holding on by a thread.
Can you guys hear us smiling right now? That's how fun this... I mean, seriously, I don't care if you don't like transportation. This is a fun topic to really dive into. So thank you for being with us.
So now this route, which again goes from Martin Luther King
Drive
to NRG, basically, going southwest through the medical center,
okay,
becomes an African-American, prolific or prosperous African-American neighborhood.
Cultural identity.
Southside.
Like it literally creation of a cultural identity that still exists today, and it's awesome. Because even though there are bad things that happen, some good things can happen. And the culture that has come from this area that's given to the city of Houston... Is man, I know I want to talk about Majestic.
Yes. So the Majestic 2.
Which we talked about the Majestic. If you remember, we have talked about the Majestic when we talked about film and theaters in Houston, the two-part.
Yes, we did. So there's a second Majestic that opens up on OST.
Yeah.
And 1920s. Hey, what a coincidence. Big movie theater opens up right on the big thoroughfare. Right when the thoroughfare opens.
This is looking really good. This is looking really good for everybody involved. But then, I see nothing but success.
But then it becomes a very, not historically black theater, but it becomes the black theater.
It's a historically black theater, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a college, university, or anything like that.
It's closed now.
Yeah.
Because Houston is not sentimental. That is the through track of all of our episodes.
Yeah.
But no, it's still thriving today. They have the Shrine of the Black Madonna Museum, which is both a black African-American cultural museum and supports local businesses.
Can we say black African-American, or do we just say...
What did I say?
Black African-American.
Yeah, just to be clear.
Okay.
Yeah. No South African. No white South African. No white South Africans.
Babaganoush!
Sorry.
I made the joke before I can make
Never trust them.
No, don't trust the South Africans.
White South Africans.
or them.
But no, so let's just put this in big picture, David.
All right.
We have a road system built at the height or the beginning of car culture.
Right.
That evokes the past, fake past.
Yeah.
The old Spanish Trail, which never went through there anyway.
Literally, man, the committee, that's what they named it because they wanted it to sound like it was authentic and old and historic and relevant.
And then that stays around long enough that it gets some respectability for being 100 years old.
Right.
They're celebrating the centennial of the old Spanish Trail, and they're trying to start a, their website. It's been trying to start a whole...
what's the website, Josh?
Their centennial website. Let's go to it. It has not been updated since 2024. We're recording this in November 2025.
Wait. Computer and simulation. Yep.
Yeah, they're trying to start a drive from Jacksonville to L.A. on the old Spanish Trail. There have not been any updates in a minute. There seems to be a lack of interest.
Well, things get excited. Things get exciting, and then that cools off. But this, like every other piece of history, needs to be cherished. It needs to be enjoyed. It needs to be talked about. Certainly. Can I say how this whole thing started?
Please.
It started out of my ignorance, honestly, and I'm man enough to admit that. Started out of my ignorance. I've seen old Spanish Trail. I'm just assuming that it's a trail that would lead from mission to mission, maybe. Like, we're in Texas. We're in Southeast Texas. I'm thinking there should be Spanish missions. But then, no, not so much. The Spanish, as we all know, would put their missions on the coastline, and they would get hammered by the French, and they would move then their missions, just literally pick it up and move it. Goliad is a great example of a mission that was literally just picked up from one spot and relocated to a spot further inland. But there's no missions, Josh. There's no Spanish missions in Houston or the area.
Not
or
really.
Anywhere. So then...
Except Todd Mission.
Except for Todd Mission.
Watch that episode. Listen
to
that episode.
Great callback. So what's the history of it? And then we found out, well, the history is it's Americana. It's earlier than Route 66 or Route 66, where I get my kicks and where I think we all get our kicks.
Yeah.
It's older. It's longer. It's more. It travels more. Covers more. So why? Why do we not know of OST like we know of Route 66?
Now it's just a 3-mile track through Houston.
With some great halal shrimp.
Great halal shrimp? We're not cutting that out either.
Nope.
It's right after Thanksgiving. We have a carb coma going on. But no, I just love... I'm having a hard time putting words. I love that this fake thing turned into a real thing over time.
This fake advertising thing became...
Like Thanksgiving.
Don't get me started. I love Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. And I love Old Spanish Trail.
And I want to have Thanksgiving. I want to have halal shrimp for Thanksgiving on Old Spanish Trail.
And I think this also is just a testament to not only the United States' car culture,
right,
for better or worse.
Right.
I'm lean positive today.
See, when we say car culture, do we mean a culture of building cars, repairing cars, making your cars better? Or do we use the car as a vehicle to experience the American experience?
As a vehicle to experience.
This was. And seriously, Josh, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention, because like I said, I was stupid. And, you know, I, through all of your research, because guys, Josh took the reins on this one and ran with it.
Just like down the old paths of the old Spanish Trail.
Yeah, from one mission to the next.
Yes. Spreading the good word.
Of?
Whatever I feel like.
How about we spread the good word of thank you for listening, guys?
Guys, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, we have an email address, htownrewind, all1word@gmail.com.
Not the all one word. That's not part of the email address.
I think they figured that out. We respect your intelligence.
We respect your intelligence enough.
But we'll figure out what our next episode is going to be very soon.
Yeah, if you got any ideas, guys, let us know. Like, we're here to talk about history, so we don't care where the question comes from, man.
You might have a better idea than we do.
More than likely you do.
And you and I are going to go to San Felipe de Austin.
Yes!
Over winter break.
Field trip!
Sorry, we have to say winter break because we're school teachers.
What else are we going to call it?
Christmas break.
Oh, I'm Jewish.
Oh, I did not know that about you.
More on that in a bit. More on that next episode. Yeah, we're going to San Felipe de Austin, and we're going to talk to some people. We're going to check the place out. There'll be some funny videos that I'm sure we'll put on an IG. Yeah.
On the gram.
On the gram.
We're in our 40s. That sounded great.
Hey, better than Facebook.
Friends, have a great day.
Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Bye.
And you better not fight back. Stronger will arrest you. Pigeon boom will take it down. You can bet your bottom dollar that you're sugar land bound. Let the midnight